Good day. My name is Anthony, and I will be your audio specialist today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to today's web conference. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that today's web conference is being recorded. We will be taking questions over the phone during today's presentation, and you will receive instructions on how to ask a question over the phone at that time. If you experience any technical difficulties during today's event, please press star zero on your telephone keypad to be connected with an operator. At this time, I would like to turn today's program over to Jeff Olson. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Anthony. Before I begin, I'd like to draw your attention to the picture on the title slide. This is a picture of our current TruScan prototype. The technology allows for assaying for all mineral types at the drill site and provides for real-time data to customers that previously has taken days, weeks, and even months to obtain. We'll be testing this on at least one customer's drill site in 2017. We are very excited about this new groundbreaking technology. So turning to slide two, which is the usual disclaimer, I'll leave that to people to read on their own time. And then slide three. Slide three provides a summary of our performance for 2016. It has been another challenging year for Boart Longyear. I'm pleased to report that we had strong relative performance in 2016 in the context of another year with declining revenues, although we continue to be challenged in absolute terms. We'll first talk about the business and our performance, and we'll provide an update on our current financial restructuring towards the end of our presentation. Brendan Ryan, our CFO, will be discussing our detailed financial results. As we always do, and as our customers do, we will start with safety. Safety is the highest priority at Boart Longyear, and our goal is to add value with zero harm, lead our industry with safety systems, processes, and results, and have our employees return home safely each day while we're performing our work with minimal impact to our neighbors or the environment. Our lost time incident rate for 2016 is a reflection of this focus, coming in at a rate of 0.11 per 200,000 man hours, which is a 39% improvement over 2015. We had a moderate increase in our TCIR, our total case incident rate, but we are still among the best in the industry. Although revenues were down significantly for the year, in fact, $93 million versus 2015, adjusted EBITDA was up $32 million, and cash from operating activities improved by $5 million over 2015. This is a direct result of productivity improvements and lower costs. For the year, cost of goods sold were down $105 million, and SG&A was down $10 million. On a productivity front, we saw a 12% improvement in drill meters per shift and 9% improvement in meters per hour. We are very pleased with this result and believe that we can continue, and that's important, continue to make strong improvements in our operating performance. We're also seeing an improving market environment with some good leading indicators. Since January 2016, gold is up 16% and copper is up 31%. This is significant because gold and copper combined make up about 75% of our drilling services revenue. Equity raisings by juniors, another key leading indicator, were at their highest levels since 2012. Importantly, equity values in the mining industry have also been increasing. While this helps sentiment, it makes M&A activity less attractive and may improve the fundamentals for drilling. Slide four provides an update on our productivity initiatives that we began towards the end of 2015. We've made significant progress in shift productivity and drill rate, as we spoke about earlier. We're drilling more meters per shift and more meters per hour than we were in 2015, and this leads to greater profitability as a company, and importantly, better results for our customers. We continue to track key metrics daily at the project level, and these results are reported and made highly visible throughout the company and at all levels in the organization. This means improved accountability and performance and better drillers. Slide five shows a summary of our key profitability and cash metrics. Although revenue was down $93 million from 2015, adjusted EBITDA was up $32 million, and cash from operating activities was improved by $5 million. As a company, we have taken decisive actions to improve profitability of the company in the face of declining market and challenging liquidity. liquidity. Our productivity improvements and focus on tight cost control position us well for an eventual market recovery. On slide six, while our focus on productivity and cost control has been high, we've continued to invest in the future, as you saw on our title slide. We've already started rolling out at-site drilling data tools with the launch of TrueCore, our core orientation tool, in late 2015 in Australia. The complete rollout of TrueCore across all regions will occur in 2017. We also plan to launch TrueShot, our downhole survey tool, in 2017. We continue to develop and test our TrueProbe and TrueScan tools at our test sites in Australia and in Canada. And we will be testing TrueScan, as I mentioned earlier, in real time at one of our customer sites this year, at least one of our customer sites this year. This is an exciting area for our business. Our vision is to transition from being a drilling company to the leading provider of comprehensive industry-leading data. I'd now like to turn it over to Brendan Ryan, our CFO, to speak in more detail about our financial results.
Thank you, Jeff. Brendan Ryan speaking. I joined Boart Longyear on the 6th of September, so this is my first results call. I'm happy to have joined Boart Longyear, and despite the challenges facing us, we do have a good team, some good energy and good focus to continue to work to try to turn this company around. The cover page, just a quick note on the cover page, this is one of our new LF-160s, surface coring rigs. This is one of the newest additions to the Boart Longyear fleet. This version is complete with the automated rod handling, which improves both productivity and safety. It can drill down to 1,800 meters and fills a gap in our product offering sort of line, and has been a very popular sort of entry to the market, so we're pretty happy with the way that's been moving. So slide eight, please. So I have four slides on financial metrics, and the first slide covers the key metrics of revenue, EBITDA, and NPAT. So from a revenue perspective, as Jeff mentioned, we're down $93 million, or 12.6%, down to $642 million from $735 million. This was driven by a 15% reduction with drilling services due to lower contract demand and about a 6% reduction in products, which were less impacted, both because of internal customers as well as external customers. The good news, I suppose, is that H2 were about 6% up on half one, so we have seen a better tail to the year after a pretty tough first half of the year. EBITDA, from a statutory perspective, was up $117 million year-on-year to positive $2 million, and adjusted EBITDA was up $32 million year-on-year to positive $32 million. With the major difference between statutory and adjusted EBITDA in our context being due to restructuring costs, both corporate restructuring and organizational restructuring. So as a result of that, as Jeff said, the adjusted EBITDA is up $32 million despite a reduction of $92 million in revenue, which is a great effort by the team. NPAT, the statutory NPAT was up by $169 million year on year to negative $157 million, and the adjusted NPAT was up $24 million year on year to negative $108 million. Next slide, please. Slide nine. A year-on-year comparison table in revenue we've talked about already. From a gross margin perspective, our statutory gross margin was up $86 million year-on-year, and adjusted was up $12 million, or 16% year-on-year. As in offsetting the $92 million decrease in revenue, we had an improvement in our cost of goods sold by $105 million, so we reduced that by in the order of 16%. EBITDA, we've talked about, was up $117 million year-on-year, and adjusted EBITDA up $32 million, giving a 5% EBITDA margin. This all results in earnings per share increasing to negative 16.8 cents per share, up from minus 36 cents per share last year. So whilst these are a good set of relative results, there is still some work to be done in an absolute basis to get them sort of into the positive. Slide 10, this has got a consolidated revenue and adjusted EBITDA bridges. In terms of the revenue bridge, we're bridging between the $735 million revenue in 2015 versus the $642 million revenue in 2016. A big impact here was a negative, the negative impact of foreign exchange, with the US dollar stronger against our primary currencies of Australia, Canada, and some of the EMEA and APAC currencies as well. Our prices were down $14 million just as a function of the softer market, which led to decreased rig utilization and less pricing power. Volume and mix was the primary negative, with lower activity by 15% in drilling services and 6% in products. In terms of the adjusted EBITDA bridge, this bridge is between the $0 million in 2015 and the $32 million in 2016. Again, the biggest reductions were price and volume and mix, as per the revenue bridge above, of $14 million and negative $18 million respectively. This has been offset, however, by a large focus on both costs and productivity. Productivity has, you know, has realized in the order of $38 million worth of EBITDA, $34 million in drilling services, and $4 million in products. This is due to a large focus on the hard work cycle and productivity measures within the group. We had an increase in other items, which is primarily driven by cost of goods sold that aren't included in the productivity improvement. And this, for example, includes the lower purchasing costs because of the lower, the weaker market more generally, as well as the use of our slower moving inventory internally to as part of our sort of campaign to reduce inventory overall. We've also seen a good reduction in SG&A. That's reduced by $10 million from $122 million in 2015 to $112 million in 2016, and we continue to focus on that. And my last slide then sort of lays out the debt and cash bridges. Our gross debt has increased by $45 million from $690 to $735 million. This was driven primarily by $18 million drawdown of our ABL facility, which was available to us, as well as the $25 million in PIC interest to Centerbridge for their Term Loan A and Term Loan B facilities. So that takes us from $690 to $735. In terms of our cash bridge, our cash position has decreased by $54 million in total, from $113 million down to $59 million. This is driven, there's a negative $8 million from cash flow from operations. This is despite the $5 million up, this number here includes the corporate restructuring costs in it, so we are negative $8 million in cash flow from operations. This was largely offset by changes in working capital, where we've actually released working capital in terms of slow-moving inventory. We've actually, $49 million in taxes and interest. We have interest charges in the order of $43 million from our senior and our secured and unsecured notes, as well as cash taxes in the order of $6 million. The $8 million investing relates to a net outflow in PP&E. The $17 million financing relates to the drawdown of the ABL facility, which we talked about in the gross debt number. And then we had a negative impact on our cash reserves of $13 million due to the strengthening of the US dollar against the Australian and Canadian dollars, particularly in quarter four post-election here in the US. That's all I have, Jeff. I'll send it back to you.
Thanks, Brendan. Appreciate it. I'm going to talk a little bit about operations now. And one of the things that's been most rewarding since I became CEO of Bort Longyear is to see the improvement that we have been able to achieve in our operations and across our SG&A in the business. This picture here on slide 12 is a photo taken at one of our pre-shift meetings where you can see our improved productivity systems really at work on a daily basis. This particular picture is one of our clients participating alongside our team, which is always a great sign because active participation and pre-start in toolbox meetings, as well as workplace interactions, form a critical part of our safety system and also our ability to improve the productivity of our operations. So moving on to slide 13, we provide a summary of our performance in drilling services. We continue to focus on our productivity initiative, which we started late last year, and we'll clearly see the benefits of these efforts. Revenue was down 15% in drilling services driven by lower volume, as we can see in the lower average number of operating rigs, while price declined slightly in 2016. It was down much less than it was in prior years. Cost of goods sold was down 19%, and SG&A was down 50%, outpacing the revenue decline. This has resulted in a significant improvement in EBITDA of 26%, despite the decline in revenue and fewer operating rigs, an accomplishment we're very proud of. Importantly, we believe that there are more improvements that we can make. Turning to slide 14, gold and copper continue to be the primary drivers of our business. We note that there has been steady improvement in the price of gold in 2016 and a more recent uptick in the price of copper, both of which we believe are good leading indicators for our business. Slide 15 shows a summary of the results of our products business. Products revenue was down by 6% compared to 2015, primarily driven by unfavorable currency translations. Price and volume were also down slightly year over year. We've just completed a comprehensive commercial review of our products business, and following that review, we've made some strategic investments in our commercial area in order to improve our offering to our customers. Slide 16. I'd now like to provide an update of the work we are doing on our capital structure. In conjunction with our advisors and our lenders, we continue to work to create a sustainable capital structure. While the process is not yet complete, progress has been steady and significant. You can appreciate that we cannot disclose details about this process until it is complete. Our primary objective remains the reduction of debt, additional liquidity, and extending the maturities on our debt. As we have indicated in both our announcement and our financial accounts, this will likely require existing debt holders to convert all or part of their debt to equity, which will be highly dilutive to existing shareholders. We are committed to concluding this work with the best possible outcome for all stakeholders in the most urgent way. We will, of course, announce any material updates when we can. Turning to slide 18, though the market environment in 2016 was challenging, we are beginning to see some positive movements in key leading indicators. Since the beginning of 2016, gold and copper have come up significantly, copper especially since November. These data points, along with the charts that you can see on slide 19, where we have seen significant increases in equity valuations of our customers, as well as the number and amount of junior equity raisings, point to a better future for Boart Longyear despite the difficult current market conditions. Slide 20, and in conclusion, we are committed to our strategic priorities. As always, we want to be an industry leader in safety and have our employees return home safe every day. I am proud of our productivity gains in 2016, and importantly, I believe we can continue to make these improvements in 2017. We've been able to maintain our investment in new technologies to ensure a strong future despite a challenging market conditions. And our goal is to be cash positive in 2017. And improving operating performance combined with increased volumes from what appear to be an improving market will help us achieve this goal. We are committed to expeditiously pursuing the best possible and balanced outcome for all stakeholders as we seek to create a sustainable capital structure. So with that, I will open it up for questions, operator.
If you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, you may also ask questions through your web console. Locate the Q&A panel on the right-hand side of your screen, type in your question, and click send to submit. And we have a question from the line of Michael Aspinall. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
So we're just starting to see very consistent commentary from some of the mining service providers about an improvement in the cycle. Can you talk to your latest observations of volume and pricing and what you're hearing more broadly? Just looking at your first H and your FY presentation, it looks like the impact of volume was much less in the second half.
Yeah, that's right. We generally have a strong seasonality component to our business where the second half is better than the first half. But I can say that, you know, it held up longer, the staying power of that improvement in the second half held up longer throughout the year. We think that's a pretty good sign. So what we anticipate is that we will see volume impacts long before we see pricing impacts in the marketplace. But pricing pressure, as you can see, is also diminished greatly in 2016. We don't anticipate it will be a big factor in 17. But we still see a tough 2017 market.
Yep.
We haven't called a turnaround at this point, of course, because these are leading indicators. And until we can see them show up in a very significant way in volume, we are being very cautious.
But we have been encouraged by both the bidding activity as well as the backlog, which seems to be improving. So some green shoots potentially, but don't want to call it too early.
Okay, are you seeing, you show the slide of the capital raisings by junior miners, are you seeing that being committed to exploration programs yet, or do you think that could be a little bit off yet?
Well, I think we're seeing that in some better bidding activity, and you know, not to say that there isn't some jobs out there, of course there are, but you should anticipate that there's a fair bit of lag between the point at which people raise money and they're ready to spend it on drilling.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about any comment on what you're seeing from the global diversified miners in terms of exploration or CapEx plans?
I think what we see is more positive talk in the marketplace from our big major customers, diversified customers. We saw certainly at this time last year, we saw people being cautious and backtracking on some of the meterage plans they had. We're not seeing those kinds of things happening this year. People are not backing off some of the numbers that they have given to us, and we've worked into our plans going forward. But by the same token, we're not calling a turnaround yet because what we're seeing is fairly close to what we anticipated seeing at this point in the year.
Okay, great. And just one final one. You might not be able to provide any color on this one. Are you able to talk about when you would expect progress in terms of the capital structure review? Are you thinking next 6 months or 12 months, or is it further out? I assume it's probably closer in than that.
Yeah, listen, it's very hard to predict when we're going to see progress on these activities. We have been at it. We announced at the half year last year that we'd be embarking upon this, and we'd hired an investment banker and other advisors. We are working steadily, and I think we're making very good progress, but it's just too hard to predict how long the process will take.
All right, great. Thanks. That's all for me.
And again, everyone, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. We have a question from the line of John Lane. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, all of you in Australia. Thanks for the description of the end of 2016 results. I've just got a question about rig utilization. Can you describe what efforts are being made to generate more contract demand for the unutilized rigs that sit in the Bortlongyear holdings currently?
Well, listen, we have put a lot of effort onto our commercial processes in the last year. Particularly, first we concentrated on services and later in the year on our products division. But certainly getting rigs utilized is a key of ours. But it's also important that we utilize those rigs in a profitable way. And so we're not going to go spend a lot of money to get rigs ready and hire crews if we don't think we're going to make money. So in all of those situations, we're going to balance investment with the benefit that we see longer term out there. We do believe that as the market returns, there will be some opportunity for additional volume, but we think and we still believe that 17 is going to be a challenging year.
How quickly are you able to sort of reach back and bring on crews to man up rigs as demand picks up?
Well, that's a very hard question to answer because it depends upon region of the world. You know, we do work in all regions of the world. We're sort of the last driller that I think is truly global. And so in some areas of the world, it's easier for us to man up and get rigs ready to go. And so that question ends up being fairly difficult to answer. It has to be answered in a very detailed way by region, by drill type, for it to be an effective answer. So I guess I'm probably going to give you an unsatisfactory answer there, but we certainly do put some thought into how and where is the places we need to expend the energy to be prepared first, what's the most likely drilling types, what are the most likely regions for us to look about what our plan would be to come back to work when the market recovers.
Do you have a listing of where drill rigs are on in sort of standby mode globally? Is that something that is in the public domain that the company has issued, or is it not possible to get that sort of information?
Well, you can understand that we have never published that information. We probably wouldn't propose to do so.
Okay. All right. Thanks, gents.
Yeah, thank you.
And once again, everyone, to ask a question, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad, or you may ask a question through your web console. We have a question on the line from David Nichols. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I'm just making an inquiry regarding the recapitalization. If you were to include all the current debt at the current share price, that would require an issue of 5.8 billion shares. Which would be an absolute disaster for existing shareholders. I'm just wondering at what time, what patience, what time can we buy to get some form of recovery in the current share price so that it's not as dilutive? If I could get some comment, please.
Yeah, listen, you've adequately framed the issue here, and that's why we use the term balanced in the way we look at all shareholders' interests. We do certainly, as you can see, we're still using significant cash. We don't have unlimited cash. And so we do need to affect a financial restructuring to create a more sustainable balance sheet. Equitizing too much debt is a significant issue too, from a dilution perspective. As we have said in our release, on our financials, and on this call, we anticipate that a solution will be highly dilutive to shareholders. But we do, we do put a lot of attention on making sure that any transaction is as balanced as we can, given the conditions that we're working under.
Thank you. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
And again, everyone, to ask a question, press star 1. And at this time, gentlemen, there appear to be no further questions on the phone lines.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you from the Boart Longyear team. We continue to work very hard to improve this business, and we appreciate your attention on our earnings call today. Thank you very much.
Thank you again for joining us today. This concludes today's web conference. You may now disconnect.